The 10 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch begins now. Let's get to some football, shall we? Packers have their first
about
of
time.
Two. Yeah, well, hey, Brewers
is this
favorite.
The Brewer
catch
hour
it.
Or what? I mean, yeah, I totally agree.
The Brewers have the first of, or the Brewers, see, now you're doing it. Now I'm doing it. The first of
look
their two
all in
joint practices this summer, one next week against the Seattle Seahawks. Today's is with the Indianapolis Colts in, I believe, suburban Indianapolis. Tausch.
By Carmel. Beautiful area down there. Carmel.
Is it Carmel or is it Carmel?
It's Carmel. Unlike those caramels that sister-in-law wolfed down after she gave them to us. I thought incredibly IPT.
The city in Indiana is called Carmel?
I don't think that's true.
Huh. So check it out. Yeah, it's Carmel. There's also Fishers is another nice little neighborhood that I'm guessing they might be in. One of those two, if I'm betting.
Be that as it may, Carmel, wherever they are in Indi- I don't even think that's the city that they're in, by the way, in suburban Indianapolis. but the Packers will practice later this afternoon. Matt LaFleur going to speak, I believe, at 1 o'clock Central Time. I'm still – now I'm having Tauschism here, and I'm
Central
struggling with what time.
Central Indy Time or Central Time Time?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a whole
again,
other thing. So, Jason – no, I'm not gonna. I don't want to bore you with that. So, to me, I have two
thanks
big things that I'm looking for. Obviously, with Jordan being out, and with Malik Willis stepping into the breach, and I don't know how much Josh Jacobs. You know, the scrimmages. I'm guessing they all get a lot of work. I'm going to be fascinated to find out how much Malik Willis plays. If he plays, I mean, he's going to have to play, right, in the game.
Yeah, they're definitely not going to sit him.
It's interesting. I'm excited to see. I think he's going to have success. I think you're going to. There's two things that popped into my head as I'm like, what are the big takeaways that I'm looking for this weekend? You know, and I had to add Malik Willis to it. I just am unsure of how much he's going to work. If it's a lot, the confidence level for me there is really high. I think he has proven that if in a pinch he needs to be the guy, he's proven he can. LaFleur has proven he's been able to manufacture a system that works for him, and they're going to be able to win some games. We obviously don't want to see that, but I feel good about that. I think this weekend there is a chance, and I mentioned it yesterday, I think this is all about our last first-round picks. Validation week in Carmel or whatever city we're in.
No.
It's a validation. This is validation.
A validation
time.
Thursday? Remember what happened when we had
boy.
That?
Oh, no.
Against Tennessee?
I do. But it's a Saturday now because it'll be more Saturday. But don't you feel like both of these first-round picks have a chance to elevate and escalate? And what I mean by that is they can elevate up the depth chart and then escalate and take off in their career. With a great weekend this weekend, and then you validate the initial thoughts, and you keep going. All of a sudden, both first-round picks can become big-time contributors they have to be. That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, I would say we can extend it 3 years because Lucas Van Ness is also under the microscope, right?
Yeah.
And then, obviously,
Yeah,
Jordan Morgan and then Matthew Golden, who's one of the last men standing at the moment at wide receiver. Yeah, look, I think these guys I've probably, I don't want to say short shrifted, but I haven't spent as much time thinking about Golden and Morgan, even though we talk about that left tackle competition
constantly. Too much time on that Irish kicker.
It's a really good story. I recommend it. It's up at channel3000.com. I'll send it to you so it'll make it easy for you to read.
Is there anything Gaelic in it? Is there any
the word Gaelic,
Gaelic did you do
is in
any
there?
Irish puns?
Yeah, no, I didn't.
How many Irish puns do you have in there?
I don't think I.
It better have been at least.
I mean, I will say this.
Mash feels like a layup.
If you've heard
something, you had to get something in there.
Guinness record.
So, do you guys know what an Irish exit is, right? You know what an Irish exit
is?
The
Irish goodbye. Yeah.
Yeah, where you leave without saying goodbye to anybody, right? So the headline, I went Irish entrance because he's entering the league.
Good one.
Okay.
Yeah, I kind of liked it.
That's not bad.
So anyway,
by the way, they're in Westfield, Indiana. Westfield.
It's also pronounced Carmel.
Is that still in that same time zone issue?
It is. Just to clarify this from the Packers, Matt LaFleur speaking before practice at 2 p.m. Indiana time, 1 p.m. Wisconsin time. Practice kicking off at 1:50 p.m. Wisconsin time, 2:50 p.m. Indy time. So there you have it.
Awesome. Okay, great.
But to your point, I agree with the three draft, the first round picks of the last 3 years. There's no question. Now, I have focused a lot of my attention to a bunch of guys that are in year three and year four that need to show more consistency, who've been good players at times, but not consistently, including the quarterback. I'm eager to see how all that plays out. But I think that take right there is a really good one. And if you're nice. Okay with me adding Van Ness to the equation, I like it even better.
I am, and I think Van Ness. I saw someone. I think Bukowski put up a clip on his Twitter feed that you saw. You know, I've been saying for the whole time that you drafted Lucas Van Ness. He can be strong. He's a bull, and that's fine. That gives you your floor, but you have to start adding things. Otherwise, your floor and ceiling you're not gonna be able to stand up. You're gonna have to lay down because there's no room. You're not grow your ceiling. You got to come up with some counter moves. And there's a little wiggle and a little jiggle from LVN yesterday, and he just beat Rashid Walker big time right off the snap. So you just want to keep seeing that. And there's been a lot of critique. Ned and the guys on Twitter, they always get after me about my Goody stand-em. But this is an opportunity. If you have a starting left tackle, a starting defensive lineman, and a starting wide receiver all from your ones – over the 3 years, that's pretty dang good. And you're giving all of these guys are always going to get opportunities until they don't. And I think for Lucas Van Ness, he's under the biggest microscope. And then as you tier it down, obviously Matthew Golden's going to get a long runway to learn and to grow. And unfortunately for him, he's got to grow up now. And you want to see him take that step. You're hearing all the right things. And he has a chance to kind of be one of the first Green Bay Packer wideouts to elevate themselves as a rookie into a prominent role, not just a secondary role. And your comp of Greg Jennings, I mean, Greg Jennings, by the end of that year, I think Brett looked for him probably as much as anybody, even Drive.
Agreed.
So now you're looking at it, you could say Jordan Morgan, if Jordan Morgan has a great night and is steady, that competition is getting super fun to watch. And they want him to win that job. So this weekend goes a long way for the last three first-round picks as far as what their role and how they're viewed by these guys in what role can they have to make an immediate impact on this season come September 7th.
Well, I am eager to see if validation Thursday/Saturday for those guys goes better than validation Thursday did a couple of years back, and the Packers defense let Tannehill throw for 3,000 yards in a game.
Tough night.
It was not great.
I still argue. I know. Everybody got after Joe Barry. I still argue that's better than letting Derrick Henry run for 300. I still make that argument.
Yeah,
it's not ideal.
You gotta do better though. Like you can let him.
I would hope
you can let him be productive. You can't let him whip your tail. Which is
I
what
would
he
agree
did.
With that assessment. I think that is fair.
And I would agree with your assessment about what a cool place and what cool stuff Jones Dairy Farm has.
Oh, we were excited. I got to show Eleanor the video. If you guys have not seen that yet, go check it out. It's on our – which website is that on, Jesse?
It's on the ESPN Madison YouTube channel, Tausch.
Well, it's on that. It's on a bunch of other stuff. And Jones –
Oh, do we lose them?
Wisconsin
oh, no.
Owned company.
Hey, wait. Start
you lost me?
Yeah.
Re-rack
yeah,
it.
Just, well, we're going to pretend just none wait. Of that happened.
Just wait. You lost me?
Yep.
Yeah, oh, you well, dropped a little great. Bit. Start over.
Eleanor and I's video has been fun. We went down there, had lunch. We had a great time learning about Jones Dairy Farm, owned and operated for seven generations in Fort Atkinson since 1889. And what I love about it, it's all natural. You know, everybody wants to eat clean, right? You want all natural. You don't want all these additives. Well, Jones Dairy has been doing it from the jump. The original family recipe for both pork, chicken, and turkey. The sausage made with fresh meat only. No fillers, nitrates, MSG, gluten, none of that stuff. They make them that naturally smoked ham, Canadian bacon, and Jesse and I found out how great their bacon is live and in person when we ate a bunch of it. Jones Dairy Farm, a great Wisconsin company. We got a bunch of other fun content coming out. Check our YouTube channels for that. And we are excited about our partnership with a great Wisconsin brand in Jones Dairy.
Next, I want to talk about, we talked about being nervous about the Brewers. We spent a lot of time on that. I have something that if you are a Packers fan, I think this is what you need to be nervous about. You can tell me if I'm wrong about it, and I'm sure Tausch will. Next, it's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Michael, who was in the wrong YouTube chats, so he was in the ESPN Madison one where he didn't like it there, and I got news for him. I'm guessing the good people of the ESPN Madison YouTube chat were not thrilled with his presence either. He's migrated back to his ESPN Milwaukee perch, but he says he's not nervous about anything when it comes to the Packers. Nothing to be nervous about. Great. It's a great attitude, Michael. God bless you.
It's really good, yeah.
I'm happy for you. I think Matt LaFleur's nervous, though. And I think with good reason.
Is that right?
I do. So I want you to hear this exchange from earlier in the week. And again, as we preach on this show, it's not about the question, it's about the answer. And while I appreciate a good, that's a great question, your answer, not great. Not a lot of specifics
great question,
here.
Jason.
So the issue, and this is what I want Tausch to address, because not everyone listens every day, and I know we kind of covered it a little bit yesterday with Bulaga, but I think the thing to be nervous about is that this team has two big-time games to start the season against two fellow NFC contenders, the reigning NFC North champs, the Detroit Lions, and then the Washington Commanders, who played in the NFC title game and lost to Philly. Without Jordan Love, who is not practicing, obviously, today in Indianapolis or in Westfield, who we don't know what he's going to do between now and the end of training camp and the final preseason game. Matt LaFleur said he's highly unlikely to play against the Seahawks. Yeah, no blank.
No, I don't. It's not highly unlikely. He ain't playing.
Just telling you what he said.
Nothing highly unlikely.
Is it highly?
No, I understand. I'm telling you what's going to happen.
Do you think it's highly unlikely that he would participate in the joint practice with them?
Yes. Well, you know what? Here's what I would say. I think if he's up for it, you could maybe see him do some 7-on-7, some things where there's nobody around him. But I will be shocked if he's doing any live blitz, anything where there's any bodies around him. I do think if he's feeling up for it and his vibe is good, I could see him doing some joint practice 7-on-7 stuff.
So what I think is concerning to Matt LaFleur, and that's why I asked him this question, is that he's got Jordan Love dealing with what he's dealing with, and then basically every top receiver except for Matthew Golden has been dealing with injuries and is not on the field. So my question to Matt LaFleur was this.
Matt, going back to Pete's question, now you've got Jordan where he's at, you got Reed and Wicks and Watson, what's the best way to figure out how to hit the ground running offensively when you're dealing with all this when the season starts?
That's a great question. I think that's something that we got to figure out along the way. And I know we will, and we'll have a plan for it. We've been in, I would say, similar situations in the past, so you always lean into that. But ultimately, you just got to every day is a new day in this league, and you just got to be ready to adapt and adjust.
Sounds a lot like he has the concepts of a plan, but he doesn't necessarily have a plan. Tausch, if you're answering that question,
how many times do you get? I'll tell you what, you get a lot of great questions, and I don't know. Whenever he does that, he doesn't give you the best answers, though.
No.
You notice that?
No,
I think it's a stall tactic to try and figure out what he's going to say.
I think both can be true.
Like,
I think
God dang it.
I think it could be a great question that he doesn't have the answer to, as well.
So he doesn't have the answer, and he kind of got to that at the end of it, because I do think. There's a lot of times you don't know. This isn't scripted. You guys aren't handing in questions beforehand and trying to figure that out.
Right.
So you're having these conversations, and if he just said, we've dealt with these situations before. No, you haven't. When have you had it where your quarterback wasn't healthy and you have four of your top five wideouts not healthy? Like, I don't think he's had that. Maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong. Go back in your archives. I don't think he's dealt with this.
He had that one game in
Arizona.
No,
I'm talking about leading up into a season.
Right.
Yeah,
but
he
still had Aaron Rodgers, right?
Yeah, it's just different when you're not doing it. So I think he realizes that the formula that he thought was going to be the formula for the season, which I don't think is going to change a ton, you know, Kraft, Jacobs, run game, and then you sprinkle, and then you grow, and you get the passing game amped up as the season goes. I think that was the plan before all of these injuries. That's still in play. Now you're going to have to do it maybe a little more creatively, whether it's two tights or three tights and more different personnel groupings.
U71.
What this is, I would be shocked if we don't see something in that ilk. But that's if Belton has another really, I think, a really good day, and you see that he's a road grader. Don't be shocked if you start seeing old U71 swiping that belly and getting out there and playing. Josh Jacobs was going to be the catalyst early in this season regardless. Now it's just how are we going to utilize him in a way? And then can you do stuff under center with old boy's thumb? I mean, there's still so many question marks that we don't know the answer to, and that was illustrated there by the way Matt answered your question.
Again, you're right. They can run a bunch of tight end stuff. All these things are possibilities. I know they're working on it. They will have an offensive game plan for the opener. And, hey, maybe this all goes away. Love comes back next week, does a little bit of work, has plenty of time to get ready for the opener on September 7th. Reed gets back. Wicks finally gets back on the field after about 2 weeks with his calf. They aren't going to have Watson, but, you know, we'll see what Dobbs does today, right? He had that hard fall at practice earlier in the week, and we don't know if he's going to practice today. Savion Williams has been in and out since they drafted him in terms of his availability at practices. So there is, I'm not saying that they can't figure it out. I'm saying they don't know what they're going to have to work with. And they're not coming out with matchups against Pulaski and Ashwaubenon. They got two really big ones out of the gates. So it's less than ideal, and it's his job. That's why Matt LaFleur gets paid.
Who would these matchups be? Who would they be up in the greater Northeast? It'd be like Kiwani.
I don't know. I mean, not everyone is Muskego, right? I mean, Kimberly would have to be one of them.
Preseason number one, Muskego.
Kimberly are the Eagles. Kimberly's like the grand poobahs, right?
Up here, yeah, I would think so.
Bayport's the defending state champ.
Yeah, yeah, that was going to be the other one I was going to
say. Who was it when you laid on that picnic table on that Friday and watched? Who was playing that?
I was sitting on the ground writing my
stars.
Story. That was a game at West De Pere, the
Did
Jaguars.
Did you pull your phone out, use that app where you could see all the constellations? That's a fun app. Sarah loves using that app. We did that out in
It
the
is
dunes.
A great,
great
app. I actually agree with Sarah on that. It is a great app.
It's a great app. I just think when you look at this, I think Matt knows, like, is this passing game, is there any chance that this passing game is going to be as crisp and as dialed in as he would love it to be for the Detroit game? The answer is no. So now it comes back to what will be our formula to be the most efficient, best executing offense. And I don't think it's going to be some big change from where it was. But what is going to be interesting, and I saw this, Detroit did a little joint scrimmage with Miami. And by all accounts, Detroit physically brutalized the Miami Dolphins. Like they said it was a TKO of TKOs. Now, I think they have another day of it. This will be a great test. Green Bay knows they need to be more physical. That's why they picked up Banksy. That's why they brought in your guy, Hobbsy, the most physical of all. And
especially against you're Arizona. Going to be,
I think this comes down to this will be a litmus test. Where are we at physicality-wise? Is this group with hopefully Elgton Jenkins, and I don't know who's tackle, hopefully is this group on par? Because when Detroit went to Green Bay, and I'll never forget that Amazon night, a couple Thursdays, a couple seasons ago on that Thursday, it was a bloodbath. Mm-hmm. We were mauled and beaten into the dirt. And that's when he talked about dragging people out to sea and knowing that he could do that to the G&G. Well, we'll find out if Green Bay has made some strides in that department, because that will be the formula. Josh Jacobs has brought physicality to this team. Now is Banks going to bring that added thing? Kraft, is it a U-71? You're going to need to see. I think they do it with Danny Skipper up in Detroit. I'd love to see him do it with old Beltsky. Let's see. You're going to get a great window into where they're at from a physicality standpoint on that Sunday afternoon.
We will get into more of our Packers discussion as they get ready for their joint practice with the Colts after Tausch tells us about what I'm sure he'll be having after he's done with his round at the next golf outing, and that will be a Coors Light.
Indeed, it's getting a little toasty, and you know what I'm going to be looking for? Blue Mountains. I'm going to crack open probably a couple of Rocky Mountain cold Coors Lights brewed with that three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and it is cold packaged. It's going to be made to chill, and hopefully I'll be celebrating a great round of golf. It's only 102 calories, Coors Light. It makes you chill. Celebrate responsibly, Coors Brewing Company at Golden, Colorado.
More Wilde and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com. But I won't cry for yesterday. There's a lot of merry world. Somehow I have to find. And as I try to make my way to the ordinary world, I will learn to survive.
All right, Jesse, as you know, I mean, you know a lot about me after working with us for, what is this, 6 years now for you? Are you entering year seven as the producer?
Yeah, the show's 2 years older than my run here.
Mm. It's amazing we managed to do that without you. But as you know, the wagering realm is not my area of expertise. We had a great time at Hard Rock Casino Rockford during our two trips down there. Love that one of them coincided with the senior discount lunches, so it was a packed house for us. That was great. We had a lot of
friends that day.
And we had a lot of loyal fans who made the trip. It was awesome. A lot of our teammates awesome.
When you think of like a senior citizen discounted lunch, do you think Salisbury steak and mashed potatoes?
No.
What are you thinking?
Well, I'm thinking the noodle bar that wasn't open yet.
No, like, seriously, what do you think when you're like thinking kind of the blue-haired special? Like, what are we thinking?
I don't know.
Like, I think Salisbury steak and mashed potatoes.
I think broasted chicken.
Ooh.
Okay.
Up north, I would say like a Sunday chicken. I mean, I love a Sunday chicken dinner. I try to convince everyone that we're with every week to go to the chicken dinner on Sundays. I honestly, I think of like a burger and fries. Like, I don't think of anything. I think of like.
For old blue hairs?
Yeah. Your parents are old. What do they. If they go for a special, what are they
nice,
having?
Jason.
They're
retired.
My dad loves chicken. Yeah. He's been on a chicken wrap kick, so he loves getting a good chicken wrap. So there.
My dad's been on a chicken wrap kick.
Take that, blue hair. Yeah.
Well, that's not a burger.
The correct answer. No, the correct answer is Salisbury steak and mashed potatoes. I just because you have to think. It's an older generation. It's back in like, you know, the 40s, 50s, whatever it might be. This isn't some fancy. They didn't even have wraps back then. They didn't have wraps back in the 40s and 50s. Like, come on. You want nostalgia with your blue-haired special. You want some nostalgia with it. Salisbury steak is nostalgic. Okay.
Whoa, Nelly!
That's later in the show.
Jesse, we have gotten sidetracked slightly.
No.
I know. But going back to Hard
Jason,
Rock.
Jason, as we're a little sidetracked. Well, we're sidetracked, so I might as well just go.
I think sourdough.
Because as I was talking, and I think you were nodding. Again, my video sucks today. Where do you think Green Bay matches up with Detroit physicality-wise? Because we saw Philly was light years ahead of us, physicality-wise. I don't think we're a non-physical football team. You don't run for what we did last year and
correct.
Be physical.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when you look at how we've been beaten and how we got knocked out, San Francisco has been more physical than us throughout the years. Detroit the last couple years, I don't think anybody could sit here and say that, it, you know, Philly. And I think Philly, with that whole narrative of, oh, the little Packers wanted to cancel the tush push. There's the narrative that we didn't want to deal with that. Even though I know that's a total crock of you-know-what, where do you think we match up physicality-wise? Because can we all agree that Goody and LaFleur, their biggest offseason priority was to be more physical?
We can definitely agree on that. That's why they brought in my guy, Nate Hobbs. And his physicality.
That Arizona tape just
jumped off the screen, yeah. I would say that the Packers have some physical players, but they're not yet a physical team. That's why the goal is to become one, right? Because they recognize they weren't. You know, that is why Aaron Banks is on this team. That is why Nate Hobbs is on this team. That is why they moved Elton Jenkins, who is definitely... You know, he's got that switch, right? Like, he's a likable fella, and then if either the...
He's a dog.
If the nightclub is dead and he wants his refund, or if he's playing on the offensive line, he can get a little nasty, right?
Yeah, and by the way, I think Sean Ryan plays with a really nice edge.
For sure.
Too.
I was just going to say him. Great job.
And you know what else? I think installing Edger and Cooper... could be the difference. I think the way he plays downhill, he is, I think, the recipe that Goody and LaFleur have been pining for, watching the Bowmans and the Willises and the Varners and the guys from, again, Tampa's guys, I don't remember their name, White and whoever else they're at. That is, I think, looking for catalysts to bring that, because they set the tone, and everybody else, Banks needs to set that tone. I think Josh Jacobs is a physical running back. I don't think anybody's going to argue with that. When you have that, that sets a tone, and that you started seeing a little bit of it last year, and now I think with the additions of what they did, and with Cooper going to be playing a lot more, they're expecting this thing to skyrocket physicality-wise, and if they don't get that, I think they're going to be sorely disappointed.
So I agree with you, and I'm eager to see exactly what their physicality level is. But look, the team with the kneecap biting coach who preaches toughness and badassery constantly, they're who's another player that's really physical that deserves to be mentioned by us is Tucker Kraft.
Yep.
Tucker Kraft is definitely that guy too.
Clark deserves that too. I know last year everybody was disappointed. Kenny Clark, if you don't believe me, watch every Minnesota game until last year. Mm-hmm. Go watch it. He got more centers fired. I don't have an analogy for it, but he got a lot of centers fired.
Good one.
Thanks. He got more centers fired than the core of the earth.
You were better with the first line.
You should just.
it sucked. I can't argue. With
you're
guys.
You're passing the mantle. All right, so Tausch,
Mickey Mantle.
Yes, Mickey Leach. If we could, why don't you tell us about Hard Rock Casino?
Who is the guy from The Millionaire Lifestyle? Is that Robin Leach?
Indeed. Yes. Yeah.
That was quite a show. That was the accent made that show, wasn't it? You know what else?
All
makes
lifestyles
the
of the rich and famous.
You want to get rich and famous? Head on down to the Hard Rock Casino Rockford. We're featuring over 175,000 square feet of gaming and entertainment space, more than 1,300 slots, 50 live table games, a sports book. Oh, we had some fun. And I'm not going to knock on wood. A lot of stuff looking pretty good down at that sports book that we did. And if you're hungry, you want to get the Salisbury steak. I don't know if they actually serve that, but Wednesdays, they have the senior discount. They have the Council Oak Steak and Seafood Bricked Italian Kitchen. And I need to try that UU Noodle Bar. The Hard Rock Live Entertainment Venue, 23,000 square feet of premium concert and event space, more than 1,000 feet of LED screens to enhance your experience for up to 2,000 guests. Hard Rock Casino Rockford, a premier entertainment destination just off I-90 in Rockford, Illinois, about an hour from the greater Madison area.
We are going to get to this ESPN Best Bets, whether sure DJ Sour Tea derails us or not. Next, it's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
Jesse, it's already 11 o'clock, but I want to get to a couple of these best bets, or at least the Packers' best bet. Do you think we can do that?
I think we can do that, and there's a great punchline here at the end of this little segment. So,
ooh, I love a good punchline.
Over at ESPN.com, ESPN bet analyst Tyler Fulgham outlines the best bets for all 32 NFL teams.
Wasn't there
teams.
A wideout that we had called Fulgham?
Travis Fulgham, yeah. Travis.
Yeah, I thought there was a Fulgham.
Hey, you.
Wonder if there's a relation.
Not to be confused with Fulcrum, which I think is a fascinating whole deal.
Okay,
there,
now you're just trying to do this. Mm-hmm. So if we could just get to the bet, it would be great.
So, you may recall at the Hard Rock Casino Rockford on June 18th, I am holding our three slips that Tausch and I put together at the Hard Rock.
Is that a secure location to just be putting them there?
There's no more secure location than the Everlight Solar Studio.
Tausch wanders into that room and starts hitting buttons.
No, we're good. We're good in here. I got them in a safe, secure location.
Not anymore.
So the three wagers we put down were the Green Bay Packers over 9.5 regular season wins. We had that at -110. Then we had...
I kind of had us starting off 2-0, too. So, I digress. Yeah. Continue.
We had the Green Bay Packers NFC North Division winners at +260.
Yeah, I had them beating Detroit and setting the tone for the season. Okay.
And as a quote-unquote long shot, Jordan Love to win NFL MVP +2,500.
Yeah. I obviously didn't expect him to break his thumb in a meaningless preseason game or whatever he did, ligament tear, whatever. So
minor procedure.
I'll say this. I still believe all of those things can happen. I still believe that there's a good chance that two of them will. But the news that broke this week did not help any of those tickets. I just gave the Jason Wilde. I know I'm not on video today. I just gave the Jason Wilde shrug. No. you know, or you can, he throws his head back.
Yeah,
and
he's doing it for us. Yeah, he's doing it.
Yeah, thank you. That's I just did the Wildy, like, because those that's just the facts. That's just kind of where we're at.
Well, over at ESPN.com, where this segment began with Tyler Fulgham, the three best bets for the Green Bay Packers. Over 9.5 wins.
Let's go.
Packers to win the NFC North.
Oh, Fulcrum.
And
that's the real Fulcrum of it.
Jordan Love to win NFL MVP. The three best bets, as outlined by the ESPN bet analyst, are the same bets we put down 2 months ago at the Hard Rock Casino Rockford.
That's amazing.
All right. I want to know if Fulcrum...
None of them will cash now.
No, probably not. But is Fulcrum listening to our pod? He must be.
Do we have specific data of listeners? Because that's kind of creepy if we do.
I cannot go into the back end and see if Tyler Fulgham subscribes. I cannot do that.
I feel fairly confident if you really wanted to, you could. The idea that any of us have any private... That's a pod for another day.
Indeed it is.
This day... I just think all of those bets, and of course, is Jordan Love a favorite to win the MVP? He's not. But if Green Bay can win those first couple games and start taking off a little bit, you know as well as I do, teams that win, their quarterbacks get thrust into the MVP spotlight. Mm-hmm. There are other quarterbacks that are in the mix, but it just feels like one of those seasons. And why I'm bummed is because I do think that injury, regardless, you know, if he comes back and they can say he's 100%, it is going to slow down the early momentum that I was hoping for. You get those two wins in those 5 days, all of a sudden everybody's excited about it, right? Mm-hmm. And then that could lead you into saying, well, all right, now Jordan's in position to win the MVP. Those three... I still feel really good about the 9.5. I think you got to punch you got to punch this bully in the nose. The Detroit Lions are the bully, and I think you don't want to let them get in coast mode, which is what they did last year. Obviously, Minnesota pushed on them, but they never felt. I think they felt it, but they knew that they were good, and I think injuries kind of derailed them. You want to take back the North? You got to punch a bully in the nose. The Detroit Lions, make no mistake about it. Them and the Eagles are the bullies. They got bullies on Broad. I don't know all the streets up in Michigan and in Detroit. They're the bullies of the North. And until you, Ralphie 'em, a little Christmas Story reference, which is an Ohio movie, you got to Ralphie their tail. And until you do that, you're going to be sitting there in the snow. Oh, please help me up. Can't do it. You got to punch a bully in the mouth. And that's what
Scott
I was hoping.
Farkas.
Still hoping. You need to do that. And I feel like we're in position. We don't have that big snow outfit on anymore. I still don't know if where we're at as far as how well we can punch this bully in the teeth.
The Broad Street Bullies is a good reference. That was the Philadelphia Flyers, right? They played on Broad Street.
Sounds right.
Arena was, I think.
Yeah, you had Moses Malone. I think he was physical, too, with the Sixers.
Right? Sure, yeah. Who was the Vinny, who's the guy for the Eagles that they made that move, that Disney movie with
Mark Wahlberg.
Mark Wahlberg.
Oh, the garbage dude, yeah.
Vinny the garbage guy.
Okay. Punch the bully in the nose. We need to get to the 11 o'clock hour because I do want to ask Tash.
I don't think you fully appreciated my Christmas Story reference.
No, I gave you Scott Farkas in return.
Dan Campbell as Farkas is pretty good. It's pretty good.
I don't think you fully appreciate it.
You have become. I have rubbed off on you in such an alarming way over these nine-plus years.
First off, don't ever use that phrase again.
Whose mind is in the gutter?
Does that mean
trust me.
So LaFleur is Ralphie, continue. And that means Jordan Love is the brother. Is that Randy is the brother's name?
I can't put my arms down. Yeah.
My question is, who's going to be Ralphie that stands up and punches Farkas in the face?
It's got to be LaFleur.
Who is
Who's our Ralphie? Does it have to be?
It's actually a pretty good comp, Jesse.
There's not going to be any scenario where I want LaFleur fighting Dan Campbell. Okay, this is a player.
Wait a minute, though. Ralphie is smaller than Scott Farkas. I will choose a different phrase. I have influenced you to this insecurity, sensitivity stuff that you didn't get enough positive feedback.
What a great comp this was.
You know I'm sensitive about analogies because it's kind of my grassland butter with my bread, with my sourdough.
It was great, and we're still using it. So you're good. Okay, Believe me, it was great. Right,
thanks.
But
you're right. I am getting too sensitive.
But
you're right. It irritates me that I have to acknowledge that.
Indeed. But again, if you were, let's say, you went down to Hard Rock Casino and you had Scott Farkas and Ralphie, who you're picking to win? Scott Farkas is the heavy.
It's Scott, not Scott.
I never knew he had a first name.
S-C-U-T.
I didn't know his name was Scott.
Yes.
No wonder he was a bully. You get named Scott. It's just like if you're Jeeves, you're going to be a butler. Like you're Scott, you're going to be a bully. Like that's just how this goes.
Too late to have Scott Wilde. But just like you would take Scott over Ralphie, but Ralphie punched him in the nose, if you were in a street fight, you would take Dan Campbell over Matt LaFleur. But that doesn't mean Matt LaFleur can't punch him in the nose. Put an end to this.
That doesn't mean I can't take Elton and Coop and
might want to take them with you. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, you want to have your crew. You want to have your crew assembled.
Yeah, no doubt. Know? All right, we need to get to the 11 o'clock hour because I do want to ask Tausch to go in his memory banks.
Jason, who's the dude that's sticking his tongue on the flagpole?
Oh, my God.
Who's the idiot that's doing that?
Flick, I believe his name is.
Flick.
No, I know, but think on the G&G? I don't think you're going to answer that, but it's going to be somebody that's an idiot that's sticking their tongue on the deal.
I can think of a couple people. I'll see if I'm willing to mention them in the 11 o'clock hour, which starts in 2 minutes.
No, he won't.
It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.